This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Another sharp retreat. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Friday, June 17, glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Stocks tumbled again with the Dow Industrials now below 30,000. Meanwhile, hear the latest economic concerns from the Commerce Department.
A church shooting in Alabama has left two people dead and another injured. Police say they've arrested the lone gunman.
In sports, the Warriors beat the Celtics for the NBA championship, and Phil Mickelson had a disastrous first day at the U.S. Open.
And workers may be losing some of their leverage.
The last 18 months or so have been so good for workers that by comparison, it could feel like some of that power is slipping away, right? You've got folks like Elon Musk saying, hey, you got to get your butt back to the office, and some other businesses are following suit. We've seen some layoffs in recent weeks and months, particularly companies that grew really quickly when everybody was homebound during the pandemic.
Callum Borchers at the Wall Street Journal on employees not feeling quite as powerful as they did a few months ago. Two people have been killed and another injured after a shooting at a church in Alabama. It happened last evening at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in Vestavia Hills, an affluent suburb just south of Birmingham. Police Captain Shane Ware said officers responded to reports of an active shooter at about 6:22 local time. He said a suspect is in custody and that there were no additional threats to the community.
A lone suspect entered a small group church meeting and began shooting.
According to the church's website, there was a potluck scheduled between 5 and 7 p.m. The Alabama shooting is the latest attack carried out at a place of worship. Back in May, one person was killed and five others were injured in a Southern California church shooting that authorities described as a politically motivated hate incident against the Taiwanese community. President Biden appears to have another excuse for skyrocketing inflation: foreign shipping companies. Yesterday, he signed the Ocean Shipping Reform Act into law, aimed at boosting the supply chain amid record high inflation and fears of a recession.
While families and businesses struggled around the world, these carriers made $190 billion in profit in 2021, seven times higher than the year before.
The new law is aimed at improving oversight for ocean shipping and making changes that proponents say will ease inflation and lessen export backlogs. Meanwhile, stocks fell sharply again yesterday, sending the Dow below 30,000 for the first time since January of 2021. The blue chip index is off 18% this year, while the S&P 500 and NASDAQ have fared worse. Elsewhere, the Commerce Department says the economy is slowing, citing reduced factory activity in the Mid-Atlantic region and our reduced spending at retailers in May. The House committee investigating the attack on the U.S. Capitol 15 months ago has held its third public hearing. Yesterday's testimony focused on then-President Trump's efforts to persuade Vice President Mike Pence to block Joe Biden's win. Mr. Trump had embraced the theory advanced by conservative lawyer John Eastman that the vice president could reject electors from certain states or suspend the counting of votes in order to turn the matter back to those states. Mr. Pence saw any effort to interfere as illegal. Greg Jacob is former counsel for Mr. Pence.
I said, John, if the vice president did what you were asking him to do, we would lose 9-0 in the Supreme Court, wouldn't we? And he initially started it, well, I think maybe you would lose only 7-2. And after some further discussion, acknowledged, well, yeah, you're right, we would lose 9-0.
Before the hearing, Mr. Trump wrote in all caps on his social media site, quote, "I demand equal time." Also of note, the Justice Department accused the committee of hampering its criminal investigation into the Capitol riot by not sharing transcripts of its witness interviews.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with expertise and tools with Windows 11 to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for Business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Midterm election years are almost never good for a president's party, as you know, but Democrats appear to be in an unusually difficult spot ahead of this November. Reed Wilson, national politics reporter at The Hill, says their standing about 5 months before voters head to the polls is worse than it has been for any president in modern times by almost any indicator. Reed, how so?
As you look at the indices across, or sort of the indicators across the political spectrum here, in pretty much every single one of them, Democrats are at an all-time low. Biden's approval rating is down to where Donald Trump's was in 2018, and lower than any modern midterm except for George W. Bush in 2006. And you know how that worked out for Republicans. The number of Americans who are optimistic about the future of the economy, satisfied with the direction of the country, both of those are at or near historic lows. The percentage of Americans who are satisfied with the job that Congress is doing is at a dismal low. So in all of the recent elections where the party in power lost control of the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate or some combination thereof, you saw low and not great approval ratings, but some positive news. You know, voters saw the economy is good even though they didn't like the president, or they liked the president even though they thought the economy wasn't doing great, and that hurt the party in power. At this point, it's all bad news for Democrats. There's really no silver lining here, unless we go state by state and look at sort of where they stand now. Now, look, there's a long time to go before Election Day, but historically speaking, presidents don't rebound in the 5 months before a midterm election. So there's just, you know, in talking to my Democratic sources around the country, there's not a lot of people who are even willing to play the optimist right now.
Jeez. And I guess part of this bad scenario, President Biden's numbers in swing states.
Yeah, my goodness. In some of the states that he barely won in 2020, his approval ratings are in the 30s right now. And that is not a good place for the president to be. It's not a good place for the candidates of the president's party to be as they seek election, especially because a lot of those candidates are not incumbents. In places like Pennsylvania or Ohio or Wisconsin, you know, places that Democrats think they can win in sort of a normal year. This is shaping up to be the opposite of a normal year.
Wow. We're speaking with Reed Wilson, national politics reporter at The Hill. His piece is called Democrats Face Congressional Rout Amid Historically Terrible Headwinds. I suspect that Democrats are saying, hold on. We have a potential Roe v. Wade ruling from the Supreme Court that could turn things in our favor, gun legislation perhaps, and January 6th and the committee hearings, although I don't think that resonates with most voters anymore. But how do you see this?
Well, that's exactly what John Anzalone told me. And Anzalone is the pollster who worked for President Biden's campaign in 2020. He's one of the smartest pollsters in the Democratic Party. And his point was, look, there are a lot of variables in the air. And there are. And there are a lot of things that could change for Dems, but could change in both ways. So, yes, the Supreme Court's ruling on abortion and maybe new gun control legislation and maybe a slimmer version of the Build Back Better plan, or, you know, Democrats doing something, maybe that changes the views of a lot of voters and may give Democrats a second look. On the other hand, the economy could fall off a cliff, and the housing bubble could burst, and like every piece of bad news that the Dems have faced so far could get monumentally worse. Mm. So, you know, for every hope that the Dems have that something can change, you know, something could get a lot worse too.
You said in the piece that partisanship is another cause for concern. How so?
Yeah, so I went back and I looked at the percentage of Americans who say they are Democrats or lean to the Democrats versus the percentage of Americans who say they are Republican or lean to the Republican Party. And you know, historically speaking, more people have said they are Democrats than Republicans. That has been a consistent trend for a century or more. what we've seen lately in the last couple of elections, where the two sides are pretty much even, that is equal, or, you know, one side has a 1-point advantage or something like that, those elections break decisively for Republicans. So all things being equal, it just seems that more people who lean Republican show up to vote than those who lean Democratic. So the Democrats need an advantage in order to get basically a status quo election. Right now, it's pretty much even. The D's and the R's are tied in terms of the share of voters who identify with either party. So even in that partisanship, even before we get to Biden's approval rating or views of the economy or anything like that, we're in an atmosphere where the Republicans appear poised to take back a lot of seats, at least in the U.S. House of Representatives.
Thanks, Reed. Reed Wilson, national politics reporter at The Hill. 19 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Stocks fell sharply again on Thursday, sending the Dow Industrial Average below 30,000 for the first time since January of 2021. Major indexes have notched big declines this year as high inflation, rising interest rates, and growing concerns about economic growth weigh on investors. Allie Wolf, chief economist with real estate group Zonda, says preparation is key.
There is a lot of economic uncertainty right now. I think it would be wise to be looking at how much money you're bringing in, how much money do you have saved, and do you have money set aside for a rainy day?
Blue chips down 18% since the beginning of the year.
Number two.
The House committee investigating the January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol heard testimony yesterday about how then-President Trump's efforts to persuade Vice President Pence to block Joe Biden's win led to a heated exchange between the two men the morning of the riot, overheard by former Trump aide Nick Luna.
My memory, I remember hearing the word wimp. Either he called him a wimp. I don't remember if he said, you are a wimp, you'll be a wimp. Wimp is the word I remember.
The committee revealed that lawyer John Eastman, architect of Trump's plan, pursued a presidential pardon, which he did not receive.
Number three.
The leaders of France, Germany, Italy, and Romania endorsed Ukraine's bid to join the European Union and pledged additional weapons to Ukraine as they met Thursday with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Ukraine needs the unanimous support of other leaders in the 27-nation economic bloc to set in motion the long and painstaking process for becoming an EU member. The Golden State Warriors are hoisting the NBA title trophy for the fourth time in 8 years after dispatching the Boston Celtics with a 103-90 Game 6 win in Boston last night. Steph Curry, who paced the Warriors with 34, was named Finals MVP.
It was kind of a steady climb to get into the championship, and whether you won or lost, you kind of just left it all out there. Then you go through these last 2 years and conversations, narratives, we're too old.
Andre Wiggins, Jordan Poole, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson all scored in double figures for the Warriors.
All right, thank you, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. By the way, be sure to follow us on social media, including our newly updated Instagram page. You can find it at This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. In a matter of months, it's become more expensive to carry a credit card balance, a car loan, or a mortgage as the Federal Reserve's interest rate hikes have seeped into borrowing costs. Wednesday's freshly announced 75 basis point rate increase is about to up those prices even more. Here are some money moves to make right now because of that. They're from Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Andy, what should we consider?
Yeah, I mean, basically, as far as your borrowing costs go, they're getting more expensive, and they're only going to get more expensive in the near future. So that kind of plays in a couple different directions, but that's the basic premise. You know, all kinds of rates are going to go up. So yeah.
So as you point out right out of the gate, and this message never gets old: if you got credit card debt, go after it.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, in the thing is right now Americans as a whole have more than $800 billion in collective credit card debt, at least through the first quarter of this year. That is down from the quarter before because I guess what happens seasonally is people, they go on that holiday spending spree, then they pay down that first quarter. But year over year, we're up on our credit debt, a credit card debt. So when you have credit card debt and you don't pay it off in your full month, you're carrying that balance over, the APR, that's going to get higher. So it's going to be more expensive for you to have that debt carrying. And every little bit, it's not big bits of money that are going to get layered onto that APR, but everything's going to eat away at your money right now. And so it's one thing that you can try and fix as soon as you can.
Boy, and this is the eye-popping numbers in your story. The new credit card offers are carrying an APR of almost 20%.
That's right. Yeah, almost 20%. And again, to paint the picture of how quickly rates are rising, almost 20%. That's up from 19.68% in April, 19.62% in March, and now it's at 19.9%. So, I mean, yeah, and again, as Powell said at Wednesday's conference, you know, we're likely have more rates coming, so yeah. Be ready.
We're speaking with Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. His piece is called Three Financial Moves to Make Right Now After the Fed's Biggest Rate Hike Since 1994. What if, though, we need to make a big purchase in which we have to borrow, like we need a car?
Yeah, I mean, if that's the case and you know, you think, you know, I've got to go for it. This is what I really need in my life right now. This is a great deal. This is, you know, I can afford this. Then lock in your rate. Do it right now because it's only going to go up. I mean, I literally was just talking to someone who said that she has family and they put in their rate at 4, and then within a matter of days or even a day, the rate went to 5 on mortgages.
Jeez.
So, yeah, you know, and it's particularly for homes, I mean, you know, that makes a real difference over time. So if you're certain you can do this, you can afford it, lock in the rate.
Finish up, if you would, about building a cash cushion.
Yeah, I mean, the bit of silver lining at this time when we're all getting squeezed on all sides is saving the APY on your savings accounts and CDs. They are going up. It's not, you know, I'll be the first to say it's not going to give you some mega returns, but it makes it a little bit sweeter to try and put money aside.
Thanks, Andy. Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
We don't take sides. We deliver the information you need to start your day. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning, with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, June 17. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. 2 people killed, 1 wounded at a church shooting in Alabama. Stocks fall sharply again. The January 6th committee holds its third public hearing. Freddie Mac says the average mortgage rate is now 5.78%, highest in 13 years. Amazon to hold its Prime Day sales event. July 12th and 13th. Warriors are NBA champs. Mickelson could miss the cut at the U.S. Open. Drake dropped his seventh studio album this morning. And the man who charged 69 cents for gas and got fired. His story in about 20 minutes. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Indeed. Need hires who dazzle without the hassle? You need Indeed. Their powerful platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Though the labor market remains tight and many people still have leverage to negotiate high salaries and remote accommodations, some are bracing for a day when things won't be so great. As unemployment claims tick higher and business leaders try to assert their in-office dominance, workers are showing a little less swagger. So says Callum Borchers, columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Cal, you call it a strange limbo.
You know, it's a strange limbo because by many metrics, it's still a terrific labor market, right? I mean, if you talk to employers, many of them say, look, it's still hard to find talent. Workers still have some leverage. They're negotiating. Certainly more work from home flexibility or an hour flexibility than they did before the pandemic. And yet, the last 18 months or so have been so good for workers that by comparison, it can feel like some of that power is slipping away, right? You've got folks like Elon Musk saying, hey, you got to get your butt back to the office. And some other businesses are following suit. We've seen some layoffs in recent weeks and months, particularly companies that grew really quickly when everybody was homebound during the pandemic. Some of them maybe overshot their growth, and now we're cutting back. We hit a bear market this week. People's 401ks are down. Inflation, the list goes on. All this combines to make workers feel just a little bit less confident than they did a few months ago.
You talked to somebody, too, at Boston Properties. What are they saying?
Yeah, Boston Properties is one of the biggest commercial landlords, not just in Boston, but several major markets. And Owen Thomas, the CEO, said, my tenants are getting a little bit bolder about calling their workers back to the office. You know, there was this great fear, of course, that if you told people, hey, get back to your desk, they're just going to up and leave for some other offer. Well, some of that concern is beginning to subside. And again, as he said, you know, with some of the layoffs, that puts pressure on workers to get back in the office and show some face time, try to stay in the good graces of the boss.
We're speaking with Callum Borchers, columnist at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called Workers Don't Feel Quite as Powerful as They Used to. You open the piece by speaking with this woman, Becca Smith from Indiana. What was her story?
Yeah, Becca Smith is in sales, and she had joined a startup last summer, and it was a remote job. And so she told me, look, I felt like I had, you know, the total ability to command a remote job back then. And also the economy was great. So I felt comfortable joining a fledgling business. Well, you know, fast forward 10 months later, this is one of those companies that maybe overshot the growth a little bit. They cut about a third of the staff a couple of weeks ago. So now she's out of a job. And she said, well, this time around, I'm looking for a more established company, one that I think could survive an economic downturn. You know, and I'd be willing to take a job that has me go into the office part time. So what I liked about Becca's story is it's kind of nuanced, right? It's not a sky is falling situation. And in fact, Gordon, she wrote and said, I just landed a new job. So there you go. She is back to work indeed. So it's not like it's a terrible situation, but doesn't have quite as much leverage as she did 10 months ago when she was last looking for a job.
What do career coaches advise in this type of situation?
You know, a couple of things. I spoke with one career coach named Phil Rosenberg, who said, you know, my clients are trying to land a new job before the next downturn. So the advice there, I suppose, would be if you're going to make a move, maybe now is the time to do it. Because, you know, 6 months from now, you know, who knows if you'll be able to command the same salary or the same flexibility. And the other advice I got from a woman named Stacey Haller, she's a career counselor at resumebuilder.com. And she said, the smart workers right now, if you're looking for a new job, you want to look at whether the business is one that grew mostly because of the, you know, temporary conditions of the pandemic. And if that's the case, be careful, because that's the kind of company that could have to cut back as things normalize.
Okay. Not so much for the biotech workers, I think you mentioned in the story.
Yeah, it's still very good to be a smart scientist that a biotech would want to recruit. You know, I'm up in Greater Boston, which is one of the great biotech hubs. And I spoke with recruiters up here who said, look, it's still really a candidate's market. They're often choosing among multiple offers. What can change, I thought was interesting. I kind of thought, Gordon, that maybe if the market gets tough and venture funding gets tough, that maybe those scientists would say, I'm going to go for a safe job at like an academic lab or something. Mm. I'm told that's not the case, but what they do tend to latch on to is big pharma, right? A company that's already public, has revenue, that feels more stable to them than a venture-funded startup where, you know, the money could dry up.
Yeah. Man, it's really fascinating how things have turned a little bit. Finish up, too, with this Luis Caballero. I think he was a 50-year-old guy. What did he go through?
Yeah, Luis was an interesting story. He was a sort of part of this great resignation that we've covered so much. You know, he left a long-term steady job late in 2020, and he told me he had a very cushy severance package that was going to pay all of his bills for a couple of years. He didn't have to go to work, and he wasn't really in a hurry to find his next long-term fit. And meanwhile, he said he was looking at some of his friends at the same sort of career stage, as he put it, writing their own ticket.
Thanks, Cal. Callum Borchers, columnist at The Wall Street Journal. By the way, if you missed anything, check out a podcast of today's show, available every day on the This Morning with Gordon Deal app, plus Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up next, Celtics fans trash-talked the wrong guy.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know that Steph Curry is one of the best ever at playing basketball and probably doesn't need any extra motivation or bulletin board material to get him fired up. That makes what some Celtics fans did during the NBA Finals even more head-scratching. Earlier in the Finals, Curry was seen at a post-game press conference wearing a shirt with the phrase, Ayesha Curry can cook, on the front. Now, this was in reference to a Boston area sports bar who posted a chalkboard outside of their building that read, Ayesha Curry can't cook, ahead of Monday's game. Ayesha Curry has been married to Steph Curry for more than a decade and has made a name for herself in the culinary world, authoring cookbooks, hosting a cooking show on the Food Network, and co-owning a barbecue chain. Now, flash forward to yesterday before a do-or-die Game 6 for Boston, when Celtics fans outside the same bar were spotted with t-shirts emblazoned with Ayesha Curry can't cook in all caps. If the intent was to somehow rattle Steph Curry, it would seem to have had the opposite effect, with Curry going off for 34 points on his way to the finals MVP award.
They should wear shirts in San Francisco now that says something like Steph Curry cooks in Boston.
Something along those lines. Yeah. He owns Boston or something to that effect.
This is like really weak smack talk, though,
that,
isn't it?
That is bad, especially when you're down in the series.
Yeah.
That's not something you do when you're down, I don't think.
Come up with a dagger. I mean, he needs something bolder and braver than that. And just Ayesha Curry can't cook.
Yeah, I mean, there are worse things, obviously, and we're glad they didn't take it too far necessarily.
No, but I mean,
it was kind of a gentle ribbing, but still, again, you know, the fact that he picked up on it, right,
and he wore the
t-shirt, at least was in his head at some point. You don't want to in any way get into his head or make any more motivation for him to kick your butts.
Yeah, I would just expect more from what I consider a really solid sports town in Boston.
A little more sophisticated than that in Boston, right?
Ayesha Curry can't cook. It just seems soft.
I would agree. And here's a story that hits close to home for this radio crew. Residents of a Utah neighborhood say they spent more than a month dodging attacks from an aggressive goose acting as a bodyguard for a mother duck and her eggs. The goose, nicknamed Gangster the Goose by locals, was seen aggressively chasing after anyone the bird perceived to be getting too close to the nest. Residents say they ended up using umbrellas to scare Gangster into keeping his distance whenever they left their home. Officials with the local homeowners association even came to investigate the complaints, but Gangster the Goose chased them away.
He's having none of it.
Yeah. Thankfully, things have simmered down outside our door here. I guess that's kind of a springtime thing, right? But they got even more aggressive this year than normal. I mean, my car was chased on several occasions up and down our parking lot this year. Like, even every year, it seems to get worse and worse in the springtime. But now things are calm. I think they're taking little walks around the parking lot with the babies and everything. And I think everybody's chill right now.
Okay. Yeah, I did see the walk with the babies yesterday. They didn't give me a hard time.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do. I don't think you tell the whole story about what you do when you actually step outside
and go to your car. You think I'm taunting
them? Yeah.
You think I'm bringing this upon myself?
I do. I think there's something there.
Yeah, I disagree.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for joining us. The National Weather Service says it may take weeks in the Midwest and Southeast to get relief from scorching hot conditions. As part of that, the CDC says every year more than 700 people in the U.S. die from a combination of prolonged high heat and humidity. Extreme heat and humidity challenge the body's ability to cool itself. It's important to know the signs of excessive heat exposure and how to treat heat-related illnesses. Heat exhaustion can cause you to feel faint or dizzy. There's profuse sweating. Heat stroke, in comparison, can include a pulsating headache, red, hot, dry skin, and a temp above 103. Tips for helping victims: obviously get medical help ASAP. In the meantime, get the person to a shady area. Cool them down rapidly with maybe a cool shower. If the humidity is low, wrap the victim in a cool, wet sheet and fan him or her vigorously. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A single gunman opened fire inside a suburban Alabama church last evening, killing two people and wounding a third at a small group meeting. Police Captain Shane Ware says the attack occurred at an Episcopal church in the Birmingham suburb of Estavia Hills.
The suspect is in custody. I would like to reiterate that there is no threat to the community at this time.
Police declined to identify the suspect or the victims or provide further details on the attack.
Number two.
The House Select Committee investigating the January 6th Capitol riot on Thursday laid out in new detail how much pressure former President Trump applied to then Vice President Pence to overturn the 2020 election, calling him a wimp and provoking an angry mob of supporters to threaten Pence's life. The committee said the rioters, some of whom vowed to kill Pence, came within 40 feet of him before Secret Service agents were able to get him to a safe location. Retired conservative federal judge Michael Luttig, who advised Pence ahead of the Capitol riot, testified in person.
Donald Trump and his allies and supporters are a clear and present danger to American democracy.
Number three.
Airlines canceled more than 1,500 flights in the U.S. yesterday, one of the worst days yet for travel as the peak summer vacation season heats up. At LaGuardia in New York, more than one-third of all flights were scrubbed and more than a quarter of flights were dropped at nearby Newark Liberty. The cancellations came as Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg met with airline CEOs and later spoke with ABC.
I let them know that, this is a moment when we're really counting on them to deliver reliably for the traveling public. Look, there's a lot of pent-up demand out there.
Buttigieg asked the CEOs to describe steps they're taking to operate smoothly over the July 4th holiday and the rest of the summer. They're cheering this morning in Atlanta, Seattle, and Philadelphia, but disappointed in Baltimore, Nashville, and Orlando after the 16 cities of the first World Cup spread across three nations were revealed. Other cities hosting 2026 matches include Houston, Miami, and Kansas City, Missouri. 11 U.S. stadiums were selected, all NFL stadiums.
Thank you, Jen. Coming up next, gas for 69 cents a gallon.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with expertise and tools with Windows 11 to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for Business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. A frenzy erupted last week at a California gas station as surprised customers found they could fill up their tanks at a price last seen in the 70s. With prices at the pump at record highs, vehicles flooded in. Customers called their friends and family members, urging them to hit up the Shell gas station, charging 69 cents a gallon. But their luck ended up costing John Shasina his job after the gas station he managed in Rancho Cordova lost some $20,000 in sales. He told the Washington Post it was an honest mistake. He only learned about the circus that had formed when he arrived the next morning for his shift, but by then it was too late. After being placed on administrative leave, Mr. Shasina said he was fired Monday for the costly blunder. Now he's making it his mission to repay his former employer, and strangers are pitching in to help. Donations to a GoFundMe set up by his family have poured in since his story went viral. As of this morning, the campaign had raised more than $19,000. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.